Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2. The word of Christ to this church at Sardis. And what is it? Wake up. Really? Wake up. This church, this professing church, these believers, these professing believers need to wake up. They're asleep. You have a reputation, verse 1. Of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! Wake up! Spiritually asleep. Spiritually daydreaming. Spiritually living in fantasy land. A sleepy believer. Sleeping believers. Churches asleep. Spurgeon, in one of his lectures, addressed his students on this subject. And he made the staggering statement that preachers can be asleep even in the pulpit, even as they are preaching. Do you know what he means? Our minds away with the fairies. No heart in it. No interest in it. Just going through the outward motion, sleepwalking. Just doing the externals. Preaching. Going to church. Attending the prayer meeting, sitting at the Lord's table, but nothing really going on inside, just asleep. And Christ calls this church, as he speaks to the Ephesians too, through Paul, Ephesians 5 verse 14, wake up, wake up. Do you remember in Matthew 25, the virgins, those who took no oil, and those who did take oil. But it says of them all that they all slumbered and slept. They were drifting. Wake up. You get it again in verse 3. If you don't wake up, if you don't obey this, it's a very serious thing. Now let's be clear about it. It doesn't seem that there's any division here at Sardis. There's no false teaching, perhaps, no. There's no persecution that we know about, yes. Apparently all is well, but of course we have verse 4 about the soiled clothes. But from the surface everything seems to be going along hunky-dory, but they're just sleepwalking into eternity. They're going through the motions, but they're drifting. There is no interest, there is no alertness, there's no warmth, there's no feeling. There's no anticipation or expectation, no zeal, no longing. And Christ is calling them, urging them, arguing with them, pleading with them, challenging them, reproving them, calling them to wake up and get some interest, be alert, have some warmth, get some feeling, expect, be curious, have some appetite, have some zeal, have some longing. All spiritual, of course. Stir yourself. Stop going through the motions. Stop sleepwalking. Don't be zombies. Don't be away with the fairies, as I say. Just don't go through the externals. Wake up. Wake up. Now, I see this is a very solemn word, a very stirring word for believers. And I challenge myself with it. Do you feel challenged, brother, sister? Do you feel the urgency of this? Are you one of these believers that is externally all correct, or ticking all the right boxes, but really are just going through the motions? Does Christ say to you through this discourse, through his word now, as he did at Sardis, wake up, wake up? I would also see here an application to the unbeliever. You see, unbeliever, you're just sleepwalking into eternity. You're careless about Christ. You're careless about your soul. You're careless about eternity. You hear of the judgment? Oh. You hear there's an eternal damnation to come for those outside of Christ? Oh. Sleepwalking into eternity? Is it possible? If you have a small cut on your hand, you want to do something about it. If you're going on holiday, you take some insurance or whatever it is, or you make your plans, you're preparing the meals, whatever you do. All these other things in life you're concerned about. Eternity, you're just sleepwalking. Wake up, unbeliever. By the way, the hyper-Calvinist tells me that because sinners are dead, We cannot command them. It's foolish to do so, and it's wrong to do so. I see Christ can say to this people here, you are dead, therefore, remember, wake up, and all the rest of it. I see that Christ is no hyper-Calvinist. He's quite prepared to command the dead. Of course, it's foolish to command the dead. But God is pleased to bless the foolishness of preaching, and to bless the foolishness of these calls. Oh, yes, let's get rid of this hyper-Calvinism. Of course, only God can stir, and only God can awaken. But the believer and the unbeliever has this responsibility. Christ doesn't say, now wait for the Spirit to wake you up. He says, wake up. And if you don't wake up, you will know about it. You're asleep. Stir yourself. Shake yourself. Get a grip on life and get a grip on yourself. Isaac Watts put it this way. Awake our souls, away our fears. Let every trembling thought be gone. Awake and run the heavenly race, and put a cheerful courage on. True, 'tis a straight and thorny road, and mortal spirits tire and faint. But they forget the mighty God that feeds the strength of every saint. The mighty God, whose matchless power is ever new and ever young, and firm endures while endless years their everlasting circles run. From thee, the overflowing spring, our soul shall drink a fresh supply, while such as trust their native strength shall melt away and droop and die. Swift as an eagle cuts the air, we'll mount aloft to thine abode. On wings of love our soul shall fly, nor tire amidst the heavenly road. I do hope that this little discourse will bring some unbeliever to awaken, to be awaked, and to call upon the name of the Lord now, not to drift and sleepwalk into eternity. And I hope that every believer that hears this, and I include myself, that this will challenge us and encourage us, and reprove us, and stir us to be more wakeful, more alert, more interested, with more grip, pressing on with zeal and courage, awake for the Lord. Awake, 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 may God waken us. And make us more and more awake in these drooping, dreary, sleepy days. Oh, the people around us are drifting, sleeping their way into eternity. May we be alert and alight and awake for Christ. Amen.